Amy Mann is here today, and we're going to hear a performance from her new album, The Forgotten Arm, recorded at WFUV in New York City. That album traces the arc of a love affair with a boxer and his carny girlfriend, and is presented graphically as a pulp novel. The album holds together musically and thematically, and I ask Amy how the writing takes place.
I can write little bits and pieces here and there, and what I tend to do is, when I'm warming up, just sing little melodies, like little nonsense melodies, and then put those on a little reference tape and kind of go back to it later when I have time.
Wow, you two get enough to have a reference tape with you. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Because I do find that it's usually when I'm warming up before a show, and I'll sing some goofy song about the catering or something to, you know, to my bandmates, and then as I'm playing this ridiculous song, think, hey, I kind of like that. And so I've done that enough times to know that I'll regret it if I don't put it on tape.
Well, The Forgotten Arm was recorded with, I know, at least some of the bandmates who are in the band now, and Julian Coryell and some other folks. And you did it with Joe Henry. Talk a little bit about making the record with Joe. I know he likes to work with everybody in the room.
Yeah, he's big on just gathering a group of musicians that he thinks, you know, will have some kind of a little magical thing together, and just, you know, really, you know, playing songs through a few times and picking the best take. You know, it's really a get it on and get it over with technique that's really great. And because his vibe in the studio is so great, and he's a very funny guy, and he's always, you know, kind of relentlessly cheerful, which is really great for the studio. And he gets good performances out of people, you know, because he keeps it pretty bright and cheery.
He's such a smart human being, too.
I know, he's great. And also just like his songs were a general influence on this whole thing. You know, I mean, he really writes songs that have this, you know, like a short story quality. And I always think of him as sort of the Graham Greene of songwriting. So I think that was kind of an influence in having me coming up with a bit of a storyline to go through this whole record.
Yeah, we should talk a little bit about the storyline before we hear some of these tunes, because it's funny. Sometimes you hear whatever a concept album is, and I swear to God, sometimes you feel like, God, I don't get it. It's like too hard to dig in.
Yeah.
And I just want to enjoy the music. But it's interesting. If you start following from the Dear John letter, it's not really a Dear John letter, but a song called Dear John that starts, you pick up the characters right away.
I think it's a pretty simple story. I mean, it's, you know, two kind of archetypical characters. You know, the guy is a drug addict, basically. He's a boxer and a drug addict, and the girl is just, you know, one of those people who's trying to escape her life and you know, is living in a small town. And you know, they're both, like, trying to escape their lives, really. And so it's a very, very typical idea to have, you know, like, let's run off together and go to Mexico, and that'll fix it all. So, you know, it's basically just them kind of escaping, and then, you know, obviously their problems come right along with them, and then it starts to kind of fall apart.
Well, we're going to hear a performance now of Dear John.
Oh,
Dear John, which is a live performance from our guest, Amy Mann. And that is the one that actually begins The Forgotten Arm. And you get some of the characters, and you get the carnival scene, and as things continue. Well, I'll tell you what, as long as we're doing this, that's Dear John. Why don't we introduce Caroline and the song Goodbye, Caroline. Is there any way we should know about how this fits in? Or?
Goodbye, Caroline, the way it fits in the story is, at this point, they've crossed the United States and wound up in a place like Vegas or Reno, you know, sort of a casino town, and things have really gone south, and he decides he's going to try to go get some help, but that sort of necessitates that they split up, so he's saying goodbye to her.
Home.
Goodbye Caroline. Amy Mann is our guest, and it's Amy and the band. There's at least two philosophies about bands. One of the, and you've kind of been in two situations. With Till Tuesday, you had a band formed, got the record deal after you formed, right? And so you were kind of like together unit. And then there's Amy Mann as a solo artist finding people to play with. Is there something that makes for a better band in either of those situations?
I think that being Until Tuesday and forming a band almost kind of randomly when you're very young out of people you don't know very well, I think is far more risky because, you know, then you spend some time with them and you realize essentially you don't really have anything in common. And Until Tuesday, we found that one of the problems was one band member who specifically who, you know, I think didn't sort of really realize that, you know, my intentions were that it was, you know, more of a solo kind of a project. And, you know, I mean, I think we sort of just like jump into these things
right.
And we don't really know. And then there's kind of conflict. But I mean, this way it's very unambiguous and you can spend time with the people, you know, that you're going to have to be driving around in a van with.
Right. Well, I guess one thing I was getting to is whether if it's a band, everybody kind of gets invested, a little more invested but if you know all these people that you're in, you're...
Yeah. And they're invested as friends, you know, in a way. But also, I don't know. I mean, I think the boundaries are pretty clear. Like, it's
right.
a little more mature.
Right.
You know, like when you're in a band together, it's sort of like, yes, we're invested, but there's a lot of infighting anyway. And people at cross purposes, and it can get sort of sloppy.
Indeed. The first song we had a chance to hear from The Forgotten Arm was Going Through the Motions, which a great song, whether or not it fits in the story at all. You've got this, when you're talking about those things you were talking about, singing little bits into tape recorders, are the melodies what comes through that? Because you've always written such great melodies.
Well, yeah, you know, sitting there playing a little chord progression and then, you know, you sing some melody on top of it, you know, kind of automatically.
How did this one come up? Do you remember how?
Going Through the Motions. I think the main thing I remember is that I was trying to write a song that was a bit more of a rock song. So I was, you know, sort of using bar chords and trying to have a, you know, like that. It's got that sort of dramatic pause in it with a guitar. So just trying to write something that had a bit more muscle and the topic goes along with the story and I had based one of the character of the guy on a friend of mine who was a boxer and a drug addict. And this was sort of one of my personal experiences with him where he had gone to rehab and was living in kind of a sober living house. And then from day to day as I was talking to him, you can tell like, oh, the wheels are really coming off the wagon. You know, like you could sort of, you know, I mean, I don't really know that much about drug addiction, but you sort of know that something's not right, you know, and so that's really how I started the song, like, you know, and he did relapse shortly after that.
He going through the motions. This is yeah. the tune.
Something isn't right. You're only going through the motions.
Going through the motions from the Forgotten Arm, we're having a chance to talk about these live versions of the tunes. And it's funny, it's got the Dog and Pony Show line, which is kind of funny because you could take it literally because of the carnival theme of the,
exactly.
Of the show.
Exactly.
That's a good one. I guess we should talk about boxing because I understand that is something you started doing while you were doing the writing for this? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I'd taken up about a year and a half ago. So I made the character a boxer, you know, partly because it was based on this friend of mine, but also partly because I was doing it, and it's just something I was interested in.
So what actually inspired you to box?
Well, my friend had given me sort of an impromptu lesson, but it was something that just when I was a kid that I was interested in, but in the late 60s or early 70s.
Girl boxers.
I wouldn't even mention that one, yeah. You know. So, and I just kind of saw my chance, you know. There's obviously women are doing a lot more boxing, and there's more places that are giving lessons and that kind of thing. I mean, I would never have the nerve to go into like a real boxing gym,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a good time for that.
Now, okay, I don't box, but I cannot imagine that it is not. Number one, you have to be in incredible physical shape, but mentally,
it's really a mental sport.
I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, I mean, I should be in better physical shape to be doing it because I do neglect all the things, you know, all the jumping rope and, you know, the road work, all the stamina parts of it that, you know, you're supposed to take care of. I mean, I definitely am not so good at that because it's, you know, I like to get to the exciting part. It's very mental. I mean, it's way more of a mental sport than I imagined. And, you know, and then when you sort of add on to that, you have to be so mentally sharp while you're getting hit in the head. I mean, it's
while your brain is bouncing back and forth.
No.
Now, was Joe Henry boxes too, or you did some with him?
He was. He hasn't in a while, I think just because he's gotten so busy. But while we were making the record, he started taking lessons at the same place that mm-hmm. I did. I guess he had done it a little bit before also. And so we did some sparring together, which was just really a very interesting experience.
Anybody tag anybody?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, we hit each other.
I
think that we started out pretty easy, you know, sort of doing just jabs or, you know, just lefts and rights and that kind of thing. I mean, sort of was more of a exercise or a drill than let's kill each other.
Right. Amy Mann is our guest, and we're talking about the Forgotten Arm. Is that's a boxing expression?
Well, it's my carnival friend who's teaching me this boxing move, you know, this sort of overly complicated boxing move. And he always had sort of funny little names for the boxing moves that he was, you know, that he'd show me. And so that was one of them.
Oh, so you couldn't go into a gym somewhere and say, the Forgotten Arm.
Yeah. They wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Okay. Let's do one more from these performances. Maybe you'll pick out another one we can hear.
Let's hear Video, which is, I have to say, my favorite song on the record.
Because?
I don't know. It's very simple, but it just has sort of a lovely, I mean, I like the piano, and it's just got really nice sort of atmosphere.
Cool. Well, we'll finish up with that performance. Amy, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Amy Mann, our guest. This is Video, another live performance from Amy Mann and the band, another one from the Forgotten Arm.
Drink me.
The song Video finishes up our session today with Amy Mann. Thanks to Amy for joining us. Her new album is called The Forgotten Arm.